from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He thinks he's internet famous.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
How's it feel to be headed back to Super Bowl?
It feels great.
But you have no idea who he is. It's Aaron Ladd, and he joins The Drive with CDOT.
Aaron Ladd joins us in studio. He is the sports director.
I'm not the sports director. Please, you're going to get me in trouble with that. There is a sports director.
I can get you in trouble over there. What's the penalty going to be?
Okay. All right.
What are they going to take you off week three? What are they going to do? I'm just asking. What are they going to do? I don't, if I was you at this point, that's what I would call
be
myself.
Be careful, please.
Okay, my apologies here. I see you got your KU blue on today.
This
you excited
is not,
for the start of the season?
This is a navy shirt.
I see you excited about the start of the season.
No, I'm going to be in Columbia on Thursday. Kickoff. Murray State, baby.
You're excited about that?
Drone show at halftime. Yeah, I always feel good going back to Como. Like, the week one, and they've been doing this, like, Thursday opener for a while now. I know KU used to play Friday at home. I like it. It's kind of a standalone game.
KU plays Thursday. I'm shocked you're not going to that game. Because you love being at trendy events, and them playing at Sporting Park is very trendy, very Instagrammable, you know. I know you love to flaunt. You got access that normal people don't have. Everybody can't go to the games at Sporting Park. So I'm actually shocked you picked Missouri over KU.
My alma mater?
Yeah, I'm just saying, one, there's no prestige in being at Missouri Murray State. There is prestige in being at the two KU games at Sporting Park.
I do wonder what the playing serve is going to look like after a game Saturday at home against Orlando City Sporting. Do you know who they play tonight? This is a chance to win a trophy for a professional team in your market.
I know the trophy is not at stake tonight. Hold on.
It's a chance to win a trophy,
okay,
though.
Okay. That's a lot of heavy lifting as a sentence.
The U.S. Open Cup semifinals in KCK tonight. Who is Sporting Kansas City playing? Carrington Harris.
I have no clue who they're playing.
What about you, Rob?
Indy 11,
okay,
baby.
There we go.
Who are they playing?
So the U.S. Open Cup
no,
features.
No, what's the name of the team?
Indy 11. It's like a lower, it's a USL
Indy
team,
11?
I think. Yeah, because the U.S. Open Cup features.
That sounds like somebody that'll play UMG Academy. That's a word, that's what you tried to quiz me on?
I'm trying to, you're a sports Indy figure 11? In this market.
That sounds like a traveling 7-on-7 football team.
It's an AAU basketball team.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Why are you bringing that to this program?
If Sporting has any hope of winning a trophy this year or really in the foreseeable future.
It don't even sound like a real trophy. That sounds like going undefeated in NFL preseason. You don't get no stripes for that, my boy.
And then KU plays Thursday. A lot of games in a short amount of time.
Shout out to K-State, too. I don't want them to feel like they're left out of this. You know, they'd be mad if they leave you out of anything. You leave them out of something. Wait, what about us? It's okay. K-State, y'all play, too. Y'all got y'all first game. I think you guys play UT Martin, I believe.
I think Mizzou opened with MTSU last year, and it still was like a tough game for a little bit. So you can't take these week one, week zero games for granted at all, especially if you're a team that has college football playoff aspirations.
I am going to tell you this. I did place a small wager today on Missouri to make the playoff. Right now, FanDuel is offering a 25% boost if you bet on a team to make the college football playoff. I was already kind of on the fence about it. You can get them at plus 200 now at 20% boost. You put 50 down here, it can be a little exciting.
Look, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I can see Rob losing interest as we bring up the Tigers' playoff hopes. But, like, two games, two losses keeps them in play 100%. Under this current format. I think you look at their schedule and you say, all right, hosting Oklahoma, on the road in Alabama, those are probably the two that you pencil down as going to be tough to win those. Otherwise, You play clean, even if you get that one slip up and it's a third loss in conference, maybe to an Auburn at home they have is another tough game homecoming. On the road in College Station is another one I think people are worried about. But I still think this Missouri team, quarterback by Brady Cook, you got Luther Burden coming back, the defensive weapons. Yes, you wonder what they're going to look like under Corey Batoon instead of Blake Baker, who's now at LSU. I still think if they lose two conference games, they're firmly in position to host one of those first-round playoff games.
So I think that there are – I would say there's three for sure locks to make the postseason. So I'm curious if you think there's more, you would add somebody or take somebody away. Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. I would be very, very surprised if either of those three teams just outright missed the playoffs. I'm kind of siding that I think Texas is going to make the postseason as well. You look at their schedule. I don't know if they're going to win the SEC, but are they going to be one of the top four teams in the SEC? I think they're going to be this year. You could convince me that they're going to be one of the four lock teams for the postseason. So if we think that's the case, there's four teams that we think are a lock. One group of five school has to make it. So an Appalachian State, one of those teams. We're talking about there's seven possible remaining spots that I think are out there. Could Missouri grab one of those spots? Could KU grab one of those spots? You finish second in the Big 12. Could K-State grab one of those spots? That's why I think there's so much interest in this season, just because you've opened it up to, I think all they've really done is just repackage the bowl system. Kids told you that the Rose Bowl wasn't worth anything anymore. So now we just put it under the guise of the playoffs. So now, you know, those bowl games and making the Rose Bowl mean something again, making the Cotton Bowl mean something again, the Fiesta Bowl, that's really what the playoff has made. It's just put an emphasis on four bowl games, kind of like the BCS did.
But we've been begging for home games that meant something late in the year, too. Like, if you want to keep the bowl system around and you want it to mean something and have prestige, I don't think there's any better way to do that than injecting the fact that, oh, this is now a game that's going to be on campus that has meaning. Like, this first year of the playoff with that, we haven't seen what that's like. We don't know what that impact is going to be on, like, those games and those outcomes. Some of these atmospheres, like, I think about Ohio State, as you mentioned. I think about a Tennessee. I think about places that maybe even have, like, a true, like, weather advantage when you think about late in the season, these games that are happening in November and December. That's going to have a real impact on the play and the outcome. We're talking about deciding a champion, which has changed a lot as we talk about college football.
I'm going to give you one sleeper playoff team that I have.
Why is nobody talking about Michigan? Are we just out on Michigan completely?
Yeah, I'm out on Michigan this year. New quarterback, new coach, tougher conference. I mean, I think they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be one of the top 12 teams.
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
I'm going to give you a
sleeper.
Also,
have you seen their schedule? They have Texas and Ohio State. If you lose both of those, you're not making the Big 12. And they have Penn State, too. Come on now.
And you don't have Deion making it into the college football playoff?
I don't have Deion making a bowl game this year. You got to make it. I think they're losing on Thursday. I actually bet against them. I took South Dakota State or North Dakota State plus the 10.5.
I hate the media stuff that he's doing right
now. It's very, very goofy. That is goofy just, energy.
For a guy that talked about wanting to avoid distractions and not be a distraction,
he then creates
a
distraction.
It has been a nonstop distractions. But hey, if your goal is to be on First Take for 40 minutes a day, he's doing a great job.
I want to give you my sleeper team, Miami.
What?
Miami's my sleeper team.
I'm staying asleep.
Yeah, Miami's my sleeper team. Because you got to think, somebody has to win the ACC.
Who's their quarterback?
Cam Ward. Cam Ward's their quarterback. Formerly at Washington State, right? Yeah, Washington State.
I'm good on that.
Who do you got winning the ACC? I mean, it's not going to be Florida State. That team ain't winning the ACC.
Are we sure about that?
Florida State has they have 7-5 energy.
Is Clemson still around? Do we get Clemson
credit?
Yeah,
I think it's one of those two teams. I'll take a shot on Miami being the other team that wins the conference. Okay. And they don't play Clemson this year, not in the regular season. So I'll take my shot with Miami as a team that could win the ACC this year and just get an automatic spot.
I'll tap back in nationally.
As long as their coach knees the ball at the end of the game, he's got to take that kneel at the end of the game.
Maybe I'll take the Ramblin' Wreck. Maybe it's Brent Key's turn to take the keys of the ACC.
Think so?
That was a hell of a performance in Ireland.
It was a great performance.
What a way to start off the college football season, too.
If that's the kind of season that we have here, I'm thrilled, excited if this is how college football is going to be this year.
I'm mad at you. You know that?
How many college football games do you think you'll go to this year? So you're going to one. I'm going to set the over-under for you at 2.5.
Oh, I'm hammer the over there. Easy.
You're going to hammer the over.
Yes,
right, 4.5.
Absolutely. Over. Yeah.
Just going everywhere. You got season tickets somewhere? I don't know.
I am, as the weekend sports anchor at KSHB 41, I work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
But you're normally in studio. You normally are doing Sunday Sound Off. I don't get invited to that anymore, but
well, you know why.
I'm happy to do Sunday Sound Off.
You know why. You know why. I'm upset at you right now.
Discrimination is why I don't get... it be your own people, man.
Can you stop with this Kadarius Toney thing, man?
What have I done with Kadarius Toney? I haven't done anything to Kadarius Toney.
We can finally put this... This could be the last time we have this conversation.
I'm happy to have it. That his kick, that his punt return's overrated. If Rob and I are the only two people that feel this way, that's fine. And if I have to be the voice of this movement, I'm happy to be the voice of this movement. You guys, this is what the internet has done. The internet has made that punt return more important because it's the only way you can justify the trade. There is no other justification of them trading the 100th overall pick for a player than to overemphasize a punt return that happened in a game in which the Chiefs won and were winning when the other team was punting the ball to the Chiefs and they were winning. And now we have made this punt return like it was Devin Hester. Like, stop.
They were up by one. It wasn't like it was a 2-score margin by any stretch. What I think you're doing, and you and
winning.
Rob
I just
do,
want to point that they were winning when they so the Chiefs defense had stopped the other team just by definition of them punting. The Chiefs defense had stopped them, and then they punted the ball back to the team that was beating them. And now they would not have won without this kick return in the game that they were winning. That's all I'm saying is. You and I agree. It helped them score. There's no denying that. It certainly helped them score.
It gave them the game script back in hand for them to control the rest of the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. But by the way, you're taking for granted a lot of times. I think that's where this take comes from with you.
What do I take it for granted?
It's soaked in this privilege of like, we won another Super Bowl that next year and Kadarius Toney didn't end up being anything. We're talking about the specific play itself. Longest punt return in Super Bowl history. Has not happened again since then and didn't happen before then, by the way. And he scored what was basically 2 touchdowns. I'm not saying that play turned this trade. You asked me to give this a grade, and I saw you sent this out on social media.
What do you give the trade a grade now? Now that we know, now that it's over, Kadarius Toney is gone.
C+ to a B-.
Yeah, I'm more on the lower end of that scale. I'd probably give it a C- or a D+.
Because of the punt return.
The punt return is the only reason
I'm not saying it goes from an F to an A. But I'm saying that you, through this take, and people like you of your ilk, Rob Brenton, you're taking
people
it for
that
granted.
Are right?
You're taking it for granted. You're taking it for
what?
Granted.
Kadarius Toney?
Because you said, and this was another part of your argument, oh, well, they scored, they drove 70 yards each time.
Yes. Just to be clear, the Chiefs had 4 possessions in the second half of the Super Bowl. In 3 of those drives, they went at least 65 yards. They had 2 before the punt return. They had 2 75-yard touchdown drives. Now, yes, that made one drive far easier than the other
drive. It was a 4-yard drive after that. Yeah.
Then they got the ball back one more time. This is where the part of it where I think people lose it. Like right here, someone says, C-Dot, that return won it, period.
Because it allows you to control the game from that point forward.
I agree. But then 5 minutes later, the Eagles have scored. They get the 2-point conversion. They are now kicking the ball off back to the Chiefs. It is 5:15 left on the clock. It is a 35-35 game in the Super Bowl. Yes. So the game at that point was not won. The game was still a coin flip scenario.
No, but you had control of the outcome. You knew that you could take the air out of the ball, score the points, and end the game. Versus in your scenario where Mahomes gets the ball back on his side of the field, the time is not in your favor, and you hand the ball back to Philly, who controls the outcome from that point and forward. If this play, this punt return that Kadarius Toney gave you is so overvalued, then why hasn't it been done since then?
There's been 2 Super Bowls since then. What? You're making it seem like we've had 30 of these since then. There's been 1 Super Bowl since the Eagles won. There's been 1.
I just don't. Now that this is the end of the Kadarius Toney era, and we can kind of put a ball on that, I wonder where he does end up next. But this has kind of been my whole point about him, and you can disagree, which I know you will. As far as the elite athleticism, even if you look at that play specifically, he goes left and then finishes up the right-hand sideline. How many other players are doing that? Like, that's the whole reason the Chiefs stood by him this entire time. Oh, maybe he could be a running back. Oh, maybe we can convert him to this. Or maybe he can switch over to that. It's because when the ball is in his hand, yes, that's a very specific situation and a very small sample size, but when the ball is in his hand, there's maybe like 4 other players in the league that have that skill set.
Stop it. You don't really believe that about Kadarius Toney.
Who? Name him.
There's probably 15 to 30 guys that are better than this.
Stop it. Stop it.
Aaron. Aaron. We have seen Kadarius Toney play, what, 3 years in the league? He is now going to be on his third team. That the Chiefs couldn't get the most out of his ability. Really quick, though, to tell me the player over the last 10 years that could not work for the Chiefs, that then left to go to another team, and they unlock something in that player. He couldn't work with Patrick Mahomes, who is one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the top three play callers in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, I hear you.
And last year, a team that just needed anybody. They needed anybody to play wide receiver. He couldn't be productive on that team. So now we think out of that structure, he's now going to go to, you pick the team. I always pick the Saints in these analogies. You tell me that he goes to the Vikings with Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell, and now they're going to unlock something in him. He has played 3 years in the NFL and has 760 yards.
No, I don't think it's unlocked. And I think now teams will look at him and say, okay, if Andy Reid and Pat couldn't make it work, maybe it's not even worth kicking the tires on. My whole argument, and I saw Adam Teicher post about this, is the trade, if you're looking back in a vacuum, I don't even know what the 100th pick. Do you know what the 100th pick turned into?
It wasn't a great pick.
Okay.
They traded it for Darren Waller.
Yeah,
that's the Giants.
And he retired 2 years later.
He might actually be a better rapper than he is a football player.
So it's like, what are we arguing about?
Let me ask you this. Who's a better rapper, Shedeur Sanders or Darren Waller? Shedeur. The answer is Shedeur. I know. Perfect time. And I'd rather listen to Shedeur.
If I told you before the trade, you can either have a 100th pick that gets traded for something else down the line, basically nothing, or you can trade it for a player who makes one singular play in a Super Bowl that you win. You make that trade 100 times out of 100.
That part I don't disagree with. I've said that to Rob. You will never hear me come on here and say that the trade was me, that I would go back and do it. They had an extra third round pick. They then used that extra third round pick on Kadarius Toney.
It was a lottery ticket.
So it was foul money. You found $20 on the ground. You went and bought a scratcher's ticket. That's what it was. You went and bought a scratcher's ticket.
And the scratcher's ticket was like $25.
Yeah,
you broke even.
That's perfectly fine. Sure, you could have found better uses for that $20 than the scratcher ticket.
So how about instead of saying the punt return is overvalued, just say it's properly valued. That's where my beef is with you.
No, my okay.
Because you know say what? That it's overvalued, but you won a how much more can you value a Super Bowl title?
Okay, I guess the only part that I would disagree on is if you have the stance that the Chiefs won the game because of the punt return, that's where I think it's overvalued. If your argument is that the punt return helped them win the Super Bowl, sure, of course. Of course it did.
It made
a scoring drive easier. It absolutely
helped.
Some people have the stance that the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl without Kadarius Toney. That is a crazy opinion to me to have.
Another thing is he only played like 10 snaps in that game. So it's like, not only were they using him sparingly, but in the plays that they did use him,
he scored a touchdown
and he had the longest punt return in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, you know
so
what?
It's maybe, like,
okay, this,
if now it happened in the first quarter,
now
yeah,
you want to know where I might be hating a little bit. He didn't score a touchdown. Andy Reid scored a touchdown.
That's hate. That's
Andy Reid scored
now.
A touchdown.
Because if he dropped a pass, you would have ran
different.
Out of time.
No, he dropped it. Yeah, no, that's different. Yeah, that's fair. No, that part I 100% agree with you.
Gosh.
If he had dropped the ball, he's out of here.
You wouldn't have said Andy Reid dropped a touchdown.
No, I would say Andy Reid did what he was supposed to do. He schemed a player wide open. That's what he did. Andy Reid schemed a player wide open. I've seen him do that plenty of times. You know what Andy is? Andy is the make-a-wish coach. Hey, you know what? I'm going to give you your moment in the sun. Sky Moore, I'm going to do this. Kadarius Toney, McCole Hartman was... He was more popular than the Hawk Tua girl for about 30 days in February after he caught the winning touchdown. Mecole Hardman is getting calls from people. Mecole Hardman was on Jimmy Fallon because of Andy Reid. He could have called that play for anybody. He could have called that play for you. You would have been wide open on that play. So no, Andy Reid scored the touchdown. That's what he scored the touchdown.
I hope that when we look back on the Kadarius Toney error, which it truly was, because I don't think this was a win. I said C+, B-, whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's going to be the lasting memory. And how could that be overrated when it's part of, and this is, It's because they want another one. And if they win another one this year without him on the team, whatever the hodgepodge of receivers they have currently, it'll be smushed even further down in Chiefs lore because it'll be part of just this huge dynastic run and everybody will look back on that. But for a team and a franchise, talk about taking things for granted. You don't think I thought the Falcons were, it was a safe assumption to think they would win up 28-3 in the third quarter? There are no safe assumptions in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, well,
especially in the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we're saying is Atlanta blowing a big lead in the Super Bowl, not that surprising. Patrick Mahomes guiding his team to a victory in the Super Bowl, also not really that surprising. I've seen both of them happen before. Speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, I know we can't hold hands right now because we're too far away, but I would like for us to have a quick moment of silence for Desmond Ritter's career. Desmond Ritter played for the Atlanta Falcons. He then got traded to Arizona.
Yeah, they got Rondale Moore back for that.
He couldn't even win the backup role in Arizona. You know where he's about to be playing? For the Canadian Football League. He needs to be trying out for the Olympics is what he needs to be doing.
Flag football?
Yes.
I've seen their quarterback play. It ain't great.
He's about to be bagging groceries at Schnucks.
I don't know who let him do the DoorDash ad. Have you seen Desmond Ritter's DoorDash?
He's about to be doing DoorDash tonight.
That was bad PR. He's about to be doing. Whoever cleared that.
Okay, so if we can just here, I know we can't really hold hands, but if we can just hold hands here, because I know at one point you believed in Desmond Ritter. I know you did.
You
thought Atlanta had their quarterback of the future. No, they did not have their quarterback of the future. If we can just have a quick moment of silence for Desmond Ritter as his NFL career ended today.
Getting cut from the Cardinals QB room. That's like getting cut from the Patriots wideout room.
It's not good. That's not good.
I didn't think he was going to work. I thought he was serviceable in Cincinnati.
He wasn't serviceable in Atlanta.
No, and they gave him every shot to, I mean, oof. Just think about where we came. Mariota, Heineke.
It ain't been good.
Ritter.
You know what you guys should have done? You guys just should have elevated Kyle Shanahan to head coach. You guys would be better off if you had just done that.
He left. He went to the Niners. Better organization. Can't blame him.
Yeah, they also offered him the head coaching job. You guys just should have promoted from within. You guys would be in a great spot. He would have. You know what? If Kyle Shanahan had Desmond Ritter, he'd have turned into an all-pro.
Oh, my God.
That's what he would have been.
He'd be Brock Purdy this time.
Yeah, he would have been an all-pro if that was the case. All right, coming up on the other side, I do want to talk about Juju Smith-Schuster.
Sure, let's do it.
He's back. He has been picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs. They're also making some other moves. There's a lot of things to talk to you about. We got Aaron Ladd joining us in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm happy Carl Loftus sound excited to be here. Last year, he didn't sound excited to be doing it.
He was a rookie. He's acclimated now.
Like, yeah, man. Listen to the Drive, Carrington on 610.
Maybe
this year,
he actually heard your program
this year
before.
It's 96.5. Yeah, I know. That's why he's excited.
Oh,
he knows.
Stop it.
Last year, he came in. He didn't know. Now he knows.
You won one today.
He knows,
man,
that this show shifts the culture.
Oh, shit.
That's what he knows.
God, absolutely.
That's
not
what he knows. There ain't no show in the city that gets people riled up like this one.
It's
at
worse.
At the snap of a finger, I can get you guys fired up.
I'll go places and they're like, oh, tell C-Dot I said this, or tell C-Dot I said that. I'm like,
the funniest thing is when Rob and I used to go places and they would just have Rob take pictures. Rob used to get so mad. Rob would be sitting there so mad. Like, oh, who are you? I'm like, oh, that's Rob. You're like, oh, that's cool. Can you take this picture? Rob would be so mad.
You're a producer. You got to produce.
And it was always after, they'd always be like, listen, I love the show. You contribute so much. Here's my phone. Just me and him whenever you get a minute.
Every time. It used to crack me up, man. It was funny. All right. I actually did not see this. This happened while you and I were yapping. The Chiefs made a trade. It's not a big trade. They traded a 2026 conditional 7th-round pick to the Cowboys for one of their backup tight ends. I just imagine this means that Irv Smith Jr. not making the team.
He was already cut this morning. I know that if this guy, I think Hendersloot, I know he could have the longest receiving touchdown in Super Bowl history, but if that pick doesn't come up to something, then, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's overvalued in your book.
See, I was just going to, I don't know why you had to go back to that. I had moved completely
I'm still hot
forward.
About that.
I had completely
I'm still hot about that.
Moved forward from this. You actually made a good point during the break, which it's been a while since you made great Chiefs points. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now, but you did make a good point. You think all of this movement tells you that the Chiefs maybe have some questions about their depth.
I don't think they're happy with the roster. I think they looked back a week ago because, you know, these moves that are happening now are weeks and weeks in what happened before and the movement and what's going on. I think they looked around and said, look, our starters are great. You know, we've got really good premium starters across the board. Talking about Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Mahomes, Kelsey, like even linebacker core, like your first line is Super Bowl caliber. But we all know what NFL stands for. Not for long. Injuries are going to happen. They're a part of the game. You have to plan for them. You can't be surprised by them. And I do think the Chiefs are like one or two injuries in all these rooms away from being like not Super Bowl caliber, but like middle of the pack caliber.
I don't think that that's much different than most teams in the National Football League. So I don't want to overreact to that. I mean, every move that they've made at the back half of the roster has just all been very, very logical to me. To bring back Mecole Hardman, for example, a logical move to me. To bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, the acclimation process is nothing. Everybody's back. Got the same coach, same quarterback, same system. A lot of the key pieces for the whole offensive line, the quarterback, the tight end, some of the wide. It's a very familiar situation you're bringing them back into. I'm also just not going to overreact. You traded a 2026 seventh round pick, not next year's. Sure. I mean, you're going to pick those picks up over the course of the next 2 years to take a chance on a guy that is maybe a practice squad guy, maybe a break in case of emergency player. They haven't done anything drastic to me. Now, Rob has been making this point about running back. Now, I don't think they're going to trade a pick for back because I think there's so many possible options out there. But if they traded a third round pick for a running back here because they were worried about the room, that would convince me of what you're talking about. But every move that they've made has been a very, very small move, and moves that almost every team in the league makes.
I was a little surprised by the Denarik Prince move, only because we have not seen a lot of Clyde this training camp and preseason. Obviously, he's dealing with, you know, the mental health stuff and PTSD from an altercation back when he was in college. But like at a position that, you know, we talk about injuries, like running backs, it's only a matter of time. It's more of a win than an if as far as running back is concerned. And I've come on this platform and said multiple times, I don't think Isaiah Pacheco plays 17 ever throughout his career. Like I was curious on how they were going to play that out. Yes, Carson Steele was going to be in. He's a running back, though we thought he was a fullback originally. I thought Prince factored in his second training.
Can we just
camp
admit that we only
now?
Thought that he was a fullback because he was white?
They listed him at fullback.
Yeah, but just the guy played running back in college. The only reason we thought that is because he was white.
No, I think that Andy Reid, the way that he runs his offense, it's predicated on being a fullback, on there being a fullback in there. It allows different spacing. It allows different blocking techniques. It's kind of the formation and the numbers they use and how they line up and the protections and all that. I think Andy, going back to reverting on how things were in the past, I think he wants to have a fullback in his offense, but he knows that in the big year 2024, that's just not how it really works anymore.
Tomorrow, though, if Isaiah Pacheco sprained his ankle and couldn't play in week one, the person that would get the most carries for them would be Carson Steele.
I disagree. I still think it would be Clyde.
Yeah, I think Carson's passed him. To me, you are making a mistake if let's say that Isaiah Pacheco can't play and you run the ball 15 times. He's like a fair number against the Baltimore Ravens. If you're giving Clyde Edwards-Helaire the most out of those 15 carries, you're not maximizing your chances on offense.
See, I think the offense would change. I don't think they would traditionally go and run the ball between the tackles. Obviously, they would change and they'd be like a short passing. That would be their implication of the run game from that point forward. But the reason why I say Clyde is just because they have that trust. You talked about getting the band back together to open this segment. They value that more so than it seems like most other things. This is a guy who's been in their system since he got drafted. Carson Steele, we haven't seen do him at the pro level. Yes, he's had an amazing preseason and training camp, but he's never played 17 games before, especially in Kansas City.
Do you like the Juju move? I know you tweeted yesterday thoughts, and I gave you my thoughts. You didn't even reply to me. It really hurt my feelings.
I don't love it. I don't love it. I think it's a high-ceiling, low-floor move. I mean, I understand that his role now is not what it was when he was here the first time. They're kind of trying to get the last little bit juice out of the squeeze, if you will. But to me, it says a few things. I think it says that Hollywood Brown's injury could last longer than we potentially thought. And it also says the back half of their room isn't up to speed on where they thought it would be. I don't think you bring in guys from outside. Yes, Juju was here before, but I don't think you bring in guys from outside if you were happy with how it currently sits.
But I think maybe where you and I view the Juju move differently is you see them bringing in Juju as sort of a referendum on the back half of the roster in the wide receiver aspect when, I mean, didn't we already know that? Like, I've seen 2 years of Sky Moore. He's not a productive NFL wide receiver. We've seen Kadarius Toney. He's going to be on his third team in 4 years. We've seen Justin Ross. Like, so if you're telling me.
Okay, but what about Nico? Like, that was another part of the puzzle, right? This was a guy that you invested 3 years plus into, and he was supposed to be a guy that could help out on special teams. Like, the Juju thing, he's not going to play special teams.
Yeah, I just think at least when it comes to Nico that I don't have – I mean, there's so many Nico Remigio that he is just the – He's a lottery ticket. You grab these kind of guys. You see if it works. He was an undrafted guy, and
that it's a referendum on your player development in that way.
Yeah, but
you had to bring in somebody from outside that had to fill that gap, fill that void.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be critical of it. Was an undrafted guy from Fresno State that didn't make your roster, and a guy who was a second round pick from USC beat that guy out for a spot. I like Nico Remigio too. I just think because I think what happens with the Chiefs is. We all like the same 45 players on the team that we kind of gravitate towards those bottom 10 guys. Everybody loves Byron Pringle. Everybody loves Jody Fortson because we get bored. Hey, Travis Kelce's really good. Patrick Mahomes is really good. Nico Remigio is never going to help this team do anything. We know that. You know that. I know that. I don't need preseason to tell me that. I've seen enough Chiefs football to know who's going to actually help once the games start and who's not going to help. And spending any amount of time on Nico Remigio, who is going to have less than 100 yards, was a waste of anybody's time.
I don't know. Kickoff rule's different this year, and that's how you win games. You win it in the margins. Though another thing I wrote down about Juju is he's extremely trustworthy. Obviously, it's clear that Andy Reid trusts him. He talked about him being a gamer last time he was here, not being a guy that needed to practice a lot, but being locked in and giving it his all on game days. But is Juju going to be reliable physically? Like, I remember...
I don't know if they need him to be reliable physically, honestly.
You think they need him for 6 games?
I think if you get 6 good games from Juju Smith-Schuster, you are thrilled.
So how is that not a referendum on the rest of your wide receiver room?
Because the other guys... I'm saying the other guys at the bottom of it, the guys who are wide receiver 5 and 6... Those guys don't help you that much over the course of the season anyway. This wide receiver room is going to be good because of Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Rashee Rice, and a little bit of Justin Watson. So if you're telling me you got those four, anything you get from anybody else is a bonus. They are not winning games because Justin Ross made a couple of plays or Nico Remigio made a play. Now that you've got a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, if you're telling me right now, Juju Smith-Schuster has 300 yards receiving this year, take it. I'm good. Great. Especially when you're paying him nothing. We're talking about he's on a veteran minimum deal because New England's paying the bulk of his deal. If you only get 8 good games out of Juju this year, he gets hurt, and you just got to wipe your hands clean of it, that's just the game. You got to think over the course of a full, Chiefs are going to play for 21 weeks we think they could play. You aren't playing just 53 guys. It's going to be 90 guys or so that end up playing for the Chiefs in some various fashion.
And in that 20th week of the season, the AFC Championship game, the interception to close it out was from Deion Bush. The catch to close it was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And one of the key third down conversions on that drive was Justin Watson. So you can't sit here and tell me that it needs to be Hollywood Brown, Rasheed Rice, or Xavier Worthy when it's the back half of that room that has to do something. Who caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Mecole Hardman.
Who wasn't even on the team. So that matters. And when you're bringing in a guy who in Juju who we don't know physically we can actually trust for 18 weeks, that tells me everything I need to know about where your room is mentally and physically at this time of year.
Coming up on the other side, we are, what about 9 days away from the start of the NFL season? There's a couple of teams I want to ask you about to get your thoughts on. We got Aaron Ladd joining us in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.